This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to you as always by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, before we get to any of the other stuff, Browns, Cavs, how much of the tourney were you able to take in?
Well, I went to the afternoon session on Friday, and you're right. The upper level, there were a lot of fans dressed as maroon chairs in the building.
Daryl, I saw tickets for as low as $6. You get two games. You get two games for that
one. I know. And the games were pretty good. They really were. I saw St. Mary's and Alabama win, but last night was pretty fun to watch that. So, but it just seems like a little more calmer tournament this year. Not a lot of buzzer beaters and craziness that we're used to seeing in these games, but maybe that stuff will pick up in the Sweet 16.
All right, Daryl, we have you on. I want you to respond to rumors that I can't say they're unfounded when it comes to Ayuk, because we've heard Ayuk rumors. Now, it's not like I can tell you, well, Adam Schefter says the Browns or Daryl Ryder says the Browns are in on Ayuk, but it seems like kind of everybody has thought that the Browns had been pursuing him over the last year. Now, I know he had the ACL injury. So, Daryl, I'll ask you, how interested are you in trading for somebody that suffered that injury in week 7 last year and has a new contract?
Yeah, I'm not all that interested in that. I was interested last year, potentially, in that trade. But, yeah, coming off the injury plus the fact that he got the new contract from San Francisco, I'm not crazy about that idea. I think that there are bigger priorities that they need to figure out, and that obviously is finding someone that can throw him the football. And they don't have that right now outside of Kenny Pickett, and I don't think Kenny Pickett moves the needle for anybody, although I don't think any of these guys that are available moves the needle for anybody. So, it is interesting that the Browns are tied to him once again after being tied to him last offseason before he ultimately got that new $100-plus million deal to stay in San Francisco and be happy.
You know, Daryl, I'm looking at the signing of Tevin Jenkins, and for me, I'm like, okay, this one is kind of a surprising move. I look at him, a guy from Chicago. He has starting numbers. He's done some things. He's been injured a lot. But when it comes to coming off the football, he's a mauler. He's a younger, athletic guy. He came in as a tackle, moved him to guard. I see right now, if you're looking at five offensive linemen, potentially they got six starting caliber offensive linemen now. And where does that put guys like Wyatt Teller? Is there another move on the horizon? Because this seems like more than just a depth piece to me from a guy of that caliber.
Well, I'll just tell you this, Garrett. How many times have we said the Browns have had six or seven offensive linemen, and then we get to week eight, and they're in need of a guy?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to – and also keep in mind, DeJuan Jones is, you know, coming off a pretty significant injury, so he's not going to be doing much during the offseason program. You know, Joel Bitonio, he usually doesn't do a whole lot during the offseason program. Like, there's no such thing as having – two things. One, offensive lineman, and two, cornerbacks. And I give Andrew Berry credit. He has this offensive line now is deeper and more flexible than it was a year ago. I really like the addition of Cornelius Lucas, who can play on both sides of the line, which they're possibly going to need because, again, Jones coming off injury. And then we also know and understand the injury history with Jack Conklin. When he's healthy, he's one of the best in the game. The issue's been that, unfortunately, the injury bug has been following him around in recent years. So I think Andrew Berry's done a nice job. I do agree with you. It is a little bit of a head-scratching move. It's a move that makes you think, okay, what does Andrew Berry have in the bag that he's about to pull out? Is he going to wait till June 1st to do something because of salary cap implications? I for the record, I love Wyatt Teller. I am not interested in moving that man. In fact, I'd like to see them give him a contract extension and keep him here. But, you know, it is a very fair question you ask, Garrett. Does Andrew Berry have something else in mind, to make some room for guys that he's brought in?
Daryl Ryder with us right now. Did I hear you right yesterday, Daryl, that perhaps the door is now cracked open for Daryl Ryder to support Shedeur Sanders at number two?
Here we go.
Am I hearing that correctly?
So, well, the language you use, Ken, or Anthony, is a little, it might be stretching it a little bit. It's not that I support it. It's that I understand it. There's a big difference.
I see what you're doing. I see that.
Hold on, Daryl. Come on.
No, I'm being serious. I'm being practical.
Daryl, you hate every quarterback in this.
You're right, I do. Because none of them move the needle. They all stink. They're not taking you anywhere. They're biding you time until you find the guy. The guy is not available, in my opinion, this offseason, either in free agency or the guy they can afford is not available in free agency. Actually, no. It doesn't matter if they can afford him or not. None of these guys appeal to me. And I have, with every single one of these quarterbacks in the draft, I have serious reservations about them all. But there's one thing that the Cleveland Browns are really, really good at. And no, it's not playing football. It's selling fans on hope. And when you're coming off of 3-14, what do you need to sell your fans on right now? You just raised their season ticket prices again. You're bringing in Journey for the draft party, right? You're trying to get a dome built in Brook Park. You got to sell some hope. And I think that by drafting a quarterback with the second overall pick or moving up to get Cam Ward at number one, by doing either of those two things, Anthony, you sell your fans hope. And you buy yourself 3 years, right? It'll be a three-year process, trial balloon to see if the kid has it, so to speak. If he does, great, you hit the jackpot. If he doesn't, well, rookie contract, you just move on.
See, you're making sense right now. See, you got to strip all the rest of the stuff down. At the end of the day, Daryl, it's hope. I told Lyman earlier today, we're trying to get everybody under one banner. I would just like to go back to the time where we saw Baker Mayfield come off the bench and catch a nice little Philly special touchdown, and everybody in from every corner of the state of Ohio and Oklahoma were in lockstep saying, we got something going here. You just was excited to see some touchdown passes, some competent quarterback play, and you got the hope and dream about what this could be if you get some draft picks around them. Maybe we upgrade this talent here. And guess what? You actually get to save your head coach's job. You get to save your general manager's job. It all works out for everybody. But if you get Abdul Carter, I mean, what is he going to give you? 75% of the production Myles Garrett going to give you? 5-6 sacks ain't going to save your job. We all know that. Shedeur Sanders is the obvious pick.
I just, the more I objectively look at the situation, and you forgot the most important thing, Garrett. He's going to sell jerseys in the team shop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what matters.
You can't deny, Daryl, that Shedeur would be a lot of fun to cover. You can't deny that.
Are you serious?
You know what, Anthony? Can I explain something to you? I'm not interested in fun to cover. I'm interested in winning football games.
But it sounds like you don't think they're going to win no matter what they do. So give us something that's fun to cover.
Well, yeah.
That's how they sound,
would
Myles
it help
Garrett.
If we chanted it.
I mean, we do love a good chant. Now, maybe this is what got us into the Johnny Manziel business to begin with. But this dude isn't. This guy takes football seriously.
Hey, listen. They had jerseys to sell in the team shop. They had to get Brian Hoyer's butt on the bench and Johnny on the field. Hey,
Tuesday weekly guest you're talking about right now.
I know. I love Brian, but they did him wrong.
Butt on the hotline.
All right, Daryl. That concludes our Browns coverage for this moment. I do want to ask you, because I asked Danny Cunningham, I know you heard it. He said not worried at all about anything that just happened to the Cavs. I did say, and I think Garrett was agreeing with me, that watching other teams in what looked to be closer to playoff basketball than regular season basketball, having the wings kind of take over like Kawhi did, like Kevin Durant did, and even DeMar DeRozan, that did make me a little nervous. Like, what are the Cavs going to do? I know they got DeAndre Hunter. What are they going to do against Giannis? What are they going to do against, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum when the games are very different come playoff time?
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned. I just like to see Donovan Mitchell get his shot back. I'd like to see Darius Garland get his shot back. I find interesting at how teams are really going after Evan Mobley, who I think this time next year potentially could be a top three player in the NBA.
Wow.
I find that a little interesting, but I'm not panicking over the fact that they lost four in a row. I mean, good bounce back win yesterday in Utah. They've got lousy Portland tomorrow night. Hopefully they handle their business there. I mean, they've got a stretch of games here. As we hit the home stretch, that they should be able to get this thing back on track. And if anything, I really think that this type of stuff can help them. The question you ask, Anthony, is the question we asked 3 months ago, right? What are they going to do when you're dealing with these teams that got longer wings and things like that? DeAndre Hunter. At some point, I think that there needs to be a legitimate conversation about having that guy in the starting lineup and moving Max Strus to the bench. I think that it's not just a Boston Celtics thing. I think you just got to do it. You got to bite the bullet. You got to do it. If Jared Allen can take a little bit of a step back and be okay with it and, not cause any waves over something like that, right? I think you can do it with Strus, but these next couple of weeks, and I thought Chris Fedor made a great point when I had him on when I was filling in for Baskin and Phelps on Friday about this time of year for the Cavaliers. Yeah, they're trying to win games, but they're also trying to work on things and get themselves ready for the playoffs. And if that means they lose a game or two here as they go down the stretch, so be it. As long as they're ready to roll come playoff time.
Anybody you looking to avoid in the first round, Daryl?
I do not live in my fears there.
Oh, okay.
Garrett. At least when it comes to the Cavaliers. The Browns, I'm like hiding under blankets right. And everywhere, right? But when it comes to the because I'm confident in Kenny Atkinson, I'm confident in this roster, I'm confident in the experiences that I have watched them go through over the last 4 years. So, no, the Knicks don't scare me. I'm not going to be afraid of Milwaukee. I'm not going to be afraid of Miami or Chicago or Atlanta. No. That Boston makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie there, but I'm not going to see the Celtics until the conference final. So if the Cavaliers are playing the Celtics, that means that they're a step away from the NBA finals. So, no, I'm not nervous, but I am curious if the Cavaliers can take that next step. They've done it in the regular season, but as they have mentioned all throughout this season, they haven't said it doesn't matter, but in their own way they've said it. It doesn't matter. It's what they do in the playoffs that's going to really matter.
All right, Daryl, appreciate your time.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Ryder, as always, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, are people changing their minds? The fact that you hear about Russell Wilson walking through those doors, the fact that I've even heard people say, I think Kenny Pickett might be the starting quarterback week one for the Cleveland Browns. You're already shaking your head. Garrett Bush is in for Kent Carman. Kenny will be back tomorrow.
I am employed here still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen you around.
My key fob works. People are like,
you were legitimately stunned.
Congratulations on all your success.
I thought we were going to have to go outside and get you 5:30 in the morning outside.
Nah, man. The key fob still works. I don't give up no jobs. I work all of them.
Well, it's good to see you.
Yeah,
I love that we get a chance to talk about these very vital questions.
Yes.
And Garrett, I mean, you were trying to sell me on Shador earlier.
I was.
Daryl is all over the place because I think Daryl is like a lot of Browns fans, where it seems like there's no great options, so we have to talk ourselves into something. What are we going to talk ourselves into? I have been, I'd say, moderately high on Shador throughout the process, up until it seemed like everybody came back from the combine, and they're like, he grades out late first, early second. And I'm like, man, it does seem like it's getting to be a bigger reach at two. But I don't have the problems with Shador that I think some of the Browns fans seem to have when I hear them talk about all the distractions and the circus and Johnny Manziel. I'm like, this dude actually loves football. It's a big, big difference.
I think one of the things you were talking about was this the Bo Nix test. What is the Bo Nix test?
Yes. Yeah. So I've been asking all the insiders that come on, all the NFL experts, whether or not they would, knowing what we know now, and what do we know about Bo Nix now? He was good enough to playoffs. Be the quarterback of a very structured offense mm-hmm. for a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
He does have limitations.
Yeah.
So I ask the question right now, would you take Bo Nix number two overall? And I get mixed responses from everybody on that question. Because if you say no, you would not take Bo Nix right now number two, then you don't take Shador. If you say yes, then I think you take Shador. And it's not even that they're the exact same type of player, but they both have limitations.
Right.
That's the whole point. And I think you had a pretty favorable outcome on Bo Nix this season. I think he excelled. I think he was way better than most people thought. He also had Sean Payton.
He beat you. He beat the Browns.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care.
But he didn't look great in that game either. But
I don't care what it looked like. Like, if you ask me, would I take Bo Nix at two, like right now in this draft class, knowing what I know today? Heck yeah. Like, it's not that difficult. I think we get enamored with what's available to you? If it's not available to you this year, are you going to cry because it's not last year's quarterback class? Well, while you're crying, somebody else is taking a quarterback. And I think Sean Payton is a good qualifier, because we're used to getting these quarterbacks and saying we want a finished product. That does not happen. If you think Kevin Stefanski is the two-time coach of the year, why would you not think that Kevin Stefanski can do some of the things to improve Shador Sanders or make him better? Why do you think he's a finished product?
Boy, that right there is something I don't hear a lot of people talk about, which is, yes, some guys get better. Some guys are not the same player they are when they go to the combine, 3 years later. you do see growth. I mean, now Josh Allen, people will hate when I bring his name up because he's got all the...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Physical gifts, but my God, did that guy learn how to read defenses a lot better. He learned how to do a lot more stuff in the NFL.
Way accuracy was better. I think about just like this. This is the poster child. When you look at Jalen Hurts and what he threw the football like at Alabama, and you look at what he did in the league, no one is saying Jalen Hurts is taking nobody. He got his spot took by Tua. He went out there and played in the Lincoln Riley playbook. They're like, he got taken in the second round. And this guy has only gone to two Super Bowls. And by the way, let's not act like he didn't play his tail off in the first. He threw for 300 yards, no mistakes. He made one mistake. They lost the game to a great Patrick Mahomes team. But listen, I mean, he's a second round pick. Not saying that they grow on trees, but...
And a lot of people did not think he was a top 10 quarterback going into the playoffs.
At all. So my thing is, I look at Shador and what he does well translates to what Kevin Stefanski likes. And if we're talking about putting things around guys, why don't we naturally believe that good coaching like Andy Reid is able to deliver automatically makes your quarterback at that position better, and you put some stuff around him and you can end up in the playoffs. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Let's go to the phones. 216-474-0092. Lou in North Royalton, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
G. Bush, my man. Nice to hear your voice again.
What's up, Lou?
Listen. I'm kind of like siding with Daryl. G. Bush, I'm going to ask you. You played on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What wins championships?
Quarterbacks.
Well, if quarterbacks win championships, what happened to Patrick Mahomes against Philadelphia this year? I mean, you got the Philadelphia gave you the blueprint.
But if Philadelphia did not have Jalen Hurts, they could have all the defensive linemen they wanted. They still would lose that game.
Well, right, but Jalen Hurts didn't win you that football game. The football game, because if that game was close, I didn't think Philadelphia was going to win that game. I take that back. I thought Kansas City was going to keep the game close. If they kept the game close, that Kansas City would have won that game. But Philadelphia, they didn't beat Kansas City. They beat the brakes off of Kansas City. And it was that defense. Mahomes couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. So they gave you the blueprint. So I didn't see Shador that much. And so if you know the type of quarterback that Stefanski needs, he needs a player like a quarterback like, you know, Joe Flacco, a pocket passing quarterback. Okay. Now, I don't know if Shador's that guy.
He's exactly what you want.
Okay. Okay. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, mixed a little bit. But I think that I would go defense, because if you take Carter and you line him up against on the other side of Garrett, it's going to be quarterbacks are going to have a hard time completing passes when their ass is on the ground, after they've been sacked.
All right, thank you, Lou. I got to go. I will say, he's talking about one game in a one-game scenario. You got to get there.
Yes.
How do you get there? What teams are able to make a deep run with average to below average quarterback play?
No.
You just don't see a ton of it. Now, again, Jalen Hurts has been up and down. And like I told you, he was not considered a top 10 quarterback, but he's had these big moments now. And he looked unflappable in the Super Bowl.
Really quickly, 14-3 last year for Jalen Hurts. And he played in a pretty good division where, the Commanders did their thing. But, you know, you want to talk about what he done in the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts has a 109.4 QBR quarterback rating with 525 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception in 2 Super Bowl games. The first one, he threw for over 300 yards. And in the second game, he dominated with his legs. Every single time there was a third down, they couldn't keep him in the pocket. He scrambled, he moved the chains, and he was super efficient, 17-22. So, yeah, the defense helped. The defense worked. But if you are going to play some of these teams, and I always say this, and think about the gauntlet. If you want to go to the Super Bowl, you got Mahomes, you got Burrow, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Josh Allen, you got Herbert, you got the young C.J. Stroud. We just talked about Bo Nix going to the playoffs. You have to beat 3 out of the best quarterbacks in the league just to sniff the Super Bowl to play. So, yeah, you could say that defensive linemen count, but in that case, we should have been in the playoffs with Myles Garrett. We should have been balling with Joe Thomas. You win good quarterbacks. All the rest of that stuff comes into focus.
We have had above-average defensive lines.
We've had a great defense one year.
Almost every year that Myles Garrett has been here, right? But it doesn't matter if the offense can't get first downs.
I mean, C.J. Stroud, when we were good and we had Flacco, please rewind the tape and see what happened. We couldn't move the ball. Like, they moved up the ball. They moved the field up the ball up and down the field with a rookie and C.J. Stroud. And we couldn't move the football. We've been talking about the same song and dance for 20 years. That is not what builds it. Because if that was true, we had a top 3 defense a couple years ago, and we didn't make it past, the first round. It is what it is.
All right. Everybody on hold, 216-57, I have the old number, 216-474-0092. That was a Ken. Felt like Ken there.
That was a super Ken.
Yeah. I miss the old numbers. I'm just going to say
it. Now do an old TV commercial and we'll wrap her up.
I do. I miss the old number. I'm going to say it with my chest.
Finally someone said.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like this new number. I like the old number. Anyway, I am watching Danny Hurley walking off the floor yesterday getting insulted from opposing fans as his team was vanquished from the tournament.
Oh, you didn't hear him hurling curse words about Florida?
Oh, yeah. My God. He would not stop about the officiating the entire time. And then he's pointing. Now, this is what I do like. If you are going to try to heckle the dude who is the two-time defending champion head coach, yeah, he gets to point to his hand and talk about the two rings. He does. He gets to do it. That's one thing you get to do. Is it classless? Of course it is. Is that what's awesome about sports? Yes, it is awesome.
He's become NCAA's biggest villain, right?
He is. I was rooting
Between
against
that
him.
And the Lakers stuff.
Listen,
last year.
They were an 8 seed, okay, in that game yesterday against Florida, right? And I was into that game because of him. I was into that game because the UConn brand, certainly, but because I watched him on the sidelines rooting against him for 2.5 hours. It was glorious.
And his team could be better. He just refuses to recruit good kids. He's like, nah, way too good for me. I like to run you in the dirt, call your names, and get, you know, that's the way we want to get our wins here.
Well, yesterday, even though there were no Cinderellas, we still were able to find some fun out of the tournament. And here in Cleveland, things kind of picked up yesterday. And who better to talk about that than our own Mitch Spinell? And instead of Mitch at the movies, we have Mitch at the Madness, who was given, I hope, some complimentary tickets. Mitch, were you able to get taken care of?
Yeah, a friend of my dad's gave it to us during the high school tournament we were at in Dayton this weekend.
Oh, good.
Mitch comes back to big gear.
A lot of tournaments. Mitch was all over the state of Ohio watching basketball, and I love it because that was my old bit for many years. Would do the high school tournament, MAC tournament, and then when the NCAA tournament is here in Columbus, I would do that as well. So I gave you a task. I said, Mitch, man on the street, let's go. Let's find these fans from all over the country where you had visitors from the SEC. You had visitors from nearby Pittsburgh. You had them from all over. Who'd you get a chance to talk to?
I did get a chance to talk to some Michigan State fans, and Alabama fans, as both schools were victorious in their second round games yesterday. I want to start off with this Michigan State fan. These fans that I got to, because I didn't just talk to them about the tournament. The tournament was the least interesting thing to talk about with these people. I want to get their perspectives on other things we talk about around here on 92.3 The Fan.
Perfect.
I asked these three Michigan State fans, I have their names, Connor, Caden, and Carter. I asked their thoughts on their current head coach of the Detroit Pistons, J.B. Bickerstaff. And I asked them, I kind of asked them a leading question on purpose. I asked them, are there any worries that you might get to a point where the Pistons can't quite reach that next level like a certain team did under J.B. Bickerstaff?
I mean, we thought that might be the chance with Dan Campbell, and that's clearly not been the thing, so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I believe he's the guy. I mean, he's bringing in young guys, and Cade Cunningham's turning into a hell of a player, so I love seeing
it. NBA is a little more different than college. I think if you get the right dudes, any coach can take him to the next level. He'd be good, but I think he definitely has what it's got to take it to the next level.
I would like to hear their answers in 3 years and see what happens.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes, I think, with Bickerstaff, who has done a remarkable job, I think, this year with the Pistons.
I was just listening to Bon Jovi in the background.
Yeah, well, you could get distracted. I was still thinking about the kids' names. Were they all with K's or C's? Yeah. I think that matters for this discussion. Okay, all three of them.
Yeah.
You're sure on that?
I was thinking
C. Okay.
I was thinking about what mixed drinks they like the most, because they seem like they're right in that age group. In about 3 years, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But wait, they done with Dan Campbell already? Anyway, move on. They just sound like they're done with Dan Campbell.
Even though, you know, he went 14-2 in this year and lost to a rookie in the divisional round. I want to talk to some Alabama fans as well.
Good.
Crimson Tide. Got their thoughts on their quarterback from the last 2 years, Jalen Milroe.
That's the Monroe, but I'm happy he's out of Tuscaloosa.
You're happy he's out of Tuscaloosa?
Yes, sir.
You know, his potential's unlimited, but I still think he's got a lot of room for development. It's with the right program that doesn't need to start him. It's behind the right starter. Like, his potential's pretty good.
Okay. It is interesting. Like, there was some scuttlebutt about Milroe potentially to the Browns at some point. Certainly not with number two overall. And I hope not with their first pick of the second round. But the unlimited potential part, I think people are going to be holding on to that for a long time.
Yeah.
They said he ran a 4.3.
Yeah. That's kind of, I don't know, man. Listen, I hope he does all right, man. But that Lamar Jackson comparison is really going to keep him alive for a while.
Could I play their answer on another quarterback that they have more interest in, I think, than Milroe does?
Sure.
I think Jackson's going to be a star. I think he's a star. Someone's going to take him and be very fortunate to get him. He is a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I second that.
That was about Jackson Dart, who also plays in the SEC.
Jackson Dart?
Yes.
The Alabama fan, you know, it's sad when Alabama fans are sitting there pining for Jackson Dart. But the last time I saw him delivered one of the worst second half performances for a team that was trying to hang in there for the playoffs.
Good. You can listen. You can tell Saban ain't there no more. Saban used to scare people into not saying nothing dumb like that. He'd be like, "Listen, we don't big up other teams."
All right, Mitch.
So my last person I talked to was somebody that we've had on the show many times.
Special guest?
This is the special guest, a certain afternoon radio host out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 93.7 The Fan gave his thoughts.
Oh, you're lucky Ken's not here. He would not allow this.
On what he believes is going to be the Steelers' quarterback future.
I think it's going to happen now. He was in Pittsburgh for 6 hours. Number one, I don't think he flies all the way in, Rodgers. He made the trip to them, not the other way around, unless he's not serious or at least really considering it. Then it lasted a long time. I've also heard things about who was involved in the meeting, people in Aaron Rodgers' camp in the meeting, how the Steelers feel about the meeting that really make me think they believe he's going to sign. Now, he's a very flaky guy. He's a very weird guy. Maybe their read on him is off, and they think it's going to happen. And he's just going to blow them off. I mean, that's very, very possible.
All right, so you met up with Andrew Filippone.
Yes.
Was he drinking?
He had a few refreshments in his hand, some food that he had to put down the floor while we talked in the hallway. He was wearing an Indiana State Larry Bird jersey and a black Pittsburgh Pirates cap, which is the most fascinating combination to me. By the way, he wore that when Michigan State was playing here. Michigan State played Indiana State in the 79 final.
Well, he was hoping that Robert Morris was going to be there. Because...
Hey, that's cross colors, bro. You can't do that. You can't have no Philly. You can't have no Pittsburgh Pirate hat on with no Indiana State blue, baby blue joint. That's not it.
Is it not bizarre? And I was here for, you know, the women's Final Four last year. It is weird seeing your city taken over by fan bases from different regions of the country.
Yeah. But you also have to have some standards and rules. Like, if he was going to go with that, he needed to have all Pittsburgh on.
Yeah, stick with it. Robert Morris, Bobby Moe got eliminated in the opening round.
Yeah,
I didn't think we'd see Filippone, so I give him credit.
Before we get out of here, I want to play Pony's take on what he believes will be the Steelers' future. He believes Tomlin's going to get what he wants. Takes a bit of a pot shot at the Browns, too.
My take on things from what I've heard is the Steelers feel very good about it, and make no mistake, they really, really want him. I think they wanted him more than Justin Fields. I don't believe that they wanted Fields the entire time and then came back to Rodgers. I think Tomlin has wanted Rodgers the entire time, and Tomlin generally gets his way. He runs the entire organization. I don't know if it's like that with Stefanski here. Probably not, because Haslam obviously has a lot of say in things, but Tomlin tends to get what he wants, and he wants Aaron Rodgers, so...
You know, I keep thinking, good luck with that. Good luck with Aaron Rodgers. I really didn't want anything to do with him. Obviously, we weren't even on his radar. We were the one team that wasn't rumored to have any interest in him or, you know, mutual interest from Aaron Rodgers. So it was easy. The Browns just really didn't talk about him at all. Do you care if he goes to Pittsburgh? Do you think he's a missing piece, Garrett?
No. I don't. Listen, they're putting themselves in that middle ground, whatever. Like, he played okay for the Jets, but he's not taking them nowhere. Listen, I'm more concerned about Kenny Pickett. I don't want him playing. Like, I do not want to see Kenny Pickett going against Aaron Rodgers so they can just make the comparison and all the graphics. No. Give me my rookie quarterback. I'll take whatever it comes with it. But he ain't going to be doing nothing in Pittsburgh. He ain't doing nothing.
All right, Mitch. We got Rip by Pony as well. Did he take his shots at us?
He took a shot here. Do we have time to play it here?
Sure.
I want to get this one in here. This is part of the intro of me introducing him onto the thing.
Mitch, I'll do anything for you, unlike Lima and Ken. Ken blew me off. I asked Lima if he was coming, and he said, like, life gets in the way now, and he cares more about his wife and kids than doing fun things.
I can understand that. Their zest for college basketball is not
here. He said zeal.
Zeal, excuse me.
The word Lima used was zeal, which is a Lima word. Word Ken would never use. Word Ken might not know the definition to, as a matter of fact. So, but he had, I think, a big youth football meeting to figure out the rules and the specifications for uniform size and two-point conversion tries and things like that.
So you don't believe a word of that, do you?
I really don't.
I mean,
he's probably at Panini's, his favorite Italian spot, instead of coming to the games tonight.
Shots.
By the way.
Is he doing stand-up? Did he go crowdsource, hey, what's the local eatery?
Right, yeah, he's probably got one for every town. Yeah. Listen. It's not that my wife and kids are more important. I would obviously rather be at the tournament yesterday. I would obviously rather do that. The problem was I went on Friday and just hung out the gigantic sausage fest. Northeast Ohio. I mean, downtown Cleveland.
Kielbasa.
It was everywhere. And
reckless speculation.
None of the bars had enough bartenders. Place was overrun.
I know you're famous for your headcounts downtown, but I don't know how you can confirm that.
It was just kind of annoying being around. And then once the first game ended and let out, then you absolutely could not do anything. So, no, I would have rather been there yesterday, 100%. The games still mean more to me than, you know, wife and kids. But, you know, you got to do some other things sometimes. All right, that's it. Thank you, Mitch. Mitch at the Madness. Enjoyed that.
Buddy. Mitch, go Yankees.
No, he's burning the jersey.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.